I want to take a minute to tell you guys about our Patreon page and all of the great stuff that we offer for our pledges. As you guys know, Sleeperwire is a charity working towards the prevention and treatment of chronic Lyme disease. As a Patreon pledge, here's what you can get. The Draft Genius Draft Kit PDF with rankings for all sorts of leagues, priority answers on the live mail sack shows, early access to the Sunday Blitz every Sunday morning during the season, the full Draft Genius Draft Kit, which includes rankings, articles, draft strategies, expert opinions, and more, a Sleeperwire mug, a Sleeperwire t-shirt, automatic entry to a listener league, and automatic entry to the Sleeperwire Pro-Am. Your generosity will help make a difference. Visit www.patreon.com/sleeperwire for more details.
I challenge you to a duel.
It's the only argument I need!
I don't want to talk to you no more, you...
You got a lot of nerve.
Soon you will know what it is like to be defeated.
Stop defending him, Sean!
All right, let's go.
Hey, sleepers, and welcome to the Sleeperwire Great Debate Show, where we do a quick debate between two players. I am your host, Professor Chris, on Twitter, at Seymour Sleeperwire, and today I have Dirty Jobs Mike back on the Great Debate for the first time this season. Mike, how's it going, man?
Good, man. Glad to be back on here. I had a lot of fun with these last year. I feel like me and you got a lot of decisions made for other people, did the right thing, so I love the Great Debates. It's good to be back.
Yes, it is good to have you back on. But before we jump in and announce the players, I want to give you guys a quick reminder about our Draft Genius Draft Kit. The pre-order period is almost over, so go to patreon.com/sleeperwire so that you can get it at a discount, along with a bunch of other great stuff. And please go to iTunes or Google Play or wherever you listen to the podcast and drop us a 5-star rating and leave us a nice review. That truly does help out the show. So what we're going to be doing here on The Great Debate, if this is your first time listening, we're going to be having an actual debate-style argument between two players. We'll spend a couple minutes arguing for our player, we have 90 seconds for rebuttals, and then we're going to wrap it up with final thoughts on our player. And the purpose of this is not for us to convince each other, we're not trying to win the debate. The purpose is to give you guys legit arguments for and against these guys who are at the same position with a very similar ADP, so that you can make an educated decision on who to draft this season. And today, taking it back to running backs, it's a question I've seen all over Sleeperbot and all over Twitter. People want to know who to draft, and that is Leonard Fournette or Dalvin Cook. I've got Fournette, Mike has Dalvin Cook, and I'm going to go ahead and kick us off here. Leonard Fournette is one of, you know, only the four rookie running backs who finished as a top 12 running back last season in PPR, but he's the only one who didn't play a full season. He still finished as a running back one in only 13 games. He finished as the RB8 in standard leagues and the RB9 in PPR. In 13 games last season, he ran the ball 268 times, which was the seventh most, for 1,040 yards, which was the eighth most, and nine touchdowns, which was third out of all running backs. Nine rushing touchdowns, that is. He had 17 or more carries in 11 of those 13 games, with 7 games with more than 20 carries. He had 5 100-plus yard games last season. 9 of those games were with 16 or more fantasy points in PPR, and he finished as 7th in fantasy points per game at the running back position. Fournette is the true definition of a workhorse running back. He's built like a linebacker with the speed of a wide receiver. He hits his second gear faster than almost all other big running backs in the league, and he's arguably the strongest running back. Defenders just bounce off this guy, and he's never afraid to hammer into anybody, keeping his feet turning constantly. He may not make many guys miss, but that doesn't matter when guys can't hold on to you or when you can just bowl them over or stiff-arm them to the ground. I'm sure, you know, one of the arguments against him is going to be his injury history. He's struggled with some ankle injuries in his career and a couple bone bruises as well, but Leonard Fournette is so good that he's worth taking a chance on. 13 games of Fournette is better than 16 games of almost any other running back. Fournette is also unquestionably the goal line back in the Jacksonville offense. 6 of his 9 touchdowns last season came within the 5-yard line, scoring on 2/3 of his goal line carries. The Jaguars do not take him out of the game in scoring situations. Last season, he was on pace for 330 carries, 1,280 yards, and 11 rushing touchdowns. And that would have put him in 1st in carries, 4th in yards, and 3rd in rushing touchdowns. He averaged 80 yards per game while adding about 3 catches for 23 yards per game as well. So no, he's not a receiving star. He's not Alvin Kamara. He's not Le'Veon Bell. He's not David Johnson. but he does have adequate hands. He's not horrible in the passing game. You know, he's not Jonathan Stewart. The Jaguars also led the NFL in rushing attempts with 527, led the NFL in rushing yards with 2,262, finished second in rushing touchdowns with 18, and were 8th in rushing yards per attempt and 9th in rushing first downs. And they were 21st in passing attempts. All right, Mike, let's hear that rebuttal against Leonard Fournette.
Okay, so you're talking about a guy who I actually really like. I've always liked Leonard Fournette's rushing ability and everything that he can pull together as a team. Here's the red flags I have for that guy. So if you look at the first half of the season last year, Leonard Fournette was a dominant beast. He destroyed the line. He was getting through. He was just dominant. I mean, there's no other way to use or no other word to use to describe what that man was doing as far as how he was beating the other teams. I mean, you could touch him and he would just walk right through you. The second half of the season, everything really slowed down. There was only two games where he went over 100 yards. There was only a couple of games where he actually gave you more than 10 fantasy points. So this guy's sitting on your team. I know for one, I traded for this guy because I just saw the potential. And literally almost the second I traded him, he suffered that ankle sprain. And then after that, it was just a tough time owning Leonard Fournette. He never gave you back that value if you did trade for this guy. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little bit red on him as a direct result. But looking at this as a nagging injury history and then looking at the type of injury that it is, and you can start getting everything narrowed down to say, man, this guy actually does carry a lot of risk. He's not really a pass catcher, so in PPR formats, I think he moves down even lower for me as far as everything.
All right, let's move it over to Dalvin Cook. Mike, kick it off.
Okay, so now with Dalvin Cook, there's not a whole lot of good looks that we have on the guy, but what we have to look at was just flat amazing. The guy was just tearing up the field. He was getting utilized on the first through third downs. You really didn't see too much coming out of Jerick McKinnon, and you definitely didn't see it coming out of Murray. So, I mean, yes, the second half Murray was good, and now McKinnon's gone. So there's not going to be this pass catching back that comes in there and dominates that backfield. I think you're going to see a hefty dose of Dalvin Cook. I think you're going to see a hefty dose of Dalvin Cook getting the football thrown to him, because Kirk Cousins, he has never had a running back of this dynamic. I mean, sure, you're going to sit there and tell me like Alfred Morris is good and Samaje Perine was good, and the list goes on and on and on. But none of these guys, I mean, yes, they were good, but they were never truly fantasy relevant. He just was never able to get the value out of the players of all the expectations that were coming from them. So now you give him a really decent offensive line. You give him Kirk Cousins. You give him Diggs. You throw in Thielen. You throw in Rudolph. All of a sudden, that offense looks lights out. And then you start looking at the defensive side of the ball, and that was one of the more dominant defenses in the league last year. So what does that equal? That equals a recipe to have a long game where you're playing from ahead. And this is all going to be things that go right into the running back's hand. So to me, when you look at the potential of what Cook can bring to the table, the absence of McKinnon, and then that team, I mean, it's just a no-brainer. This guy is going to be – he's returning in the probably 6th, 7th pick value round as far as how I have him projected towards the end of the season. And again, it just kind of goes back to how that – more so how that defense plays football, more so than the offense, because they're just going to be playing in situations where they have to eat up the clock, and who better to eat up the clock? I mean, Latavius Murray's good, but Latavius Murray obviously wasn't getting used when Dalvin Cook was out there, and I honestly think that that's going to carry over next year. The injury, yes, it was a bad deal, but ACLs are usually a little bit easier to come back from in this day and age, especially if you compare them to, like, say, a high ankle.
Okay, so I could sit here and talk for 90 seconds about Dalvin Cook's injury last season, but that ACL tear happened in week 3, and players bounce back from ACL tears even stronger than they were before a lot of the time. My argument against Dalvin Cook, don't get me wrong, I love this guy, is really about coaching and the system that he's in. His new offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, is a former quarterback's coach. He spent his whole career working with QBs, and he was the quarterback's coach for the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles last season. This guy knows how to coach quarterbacks and how to break down passing plays. Kirk Cousins had the 8th most attempts and completions last season, the 7th most passing yards, and the 8th most passing touchdowns. Now that he has a QB coach as his offensive coordinator and great weapons in the passing game, as you mentioned, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, and Kyle Rudolph, the Vikings could see this shift towards being a more balanced offense rather than a run-first offense like they were last season. And for the record, Cousins did have Chris Thompson as well last year, who was great in the receiving game, and Latavius Murray was injured those first few weeks when Cook was playing last season. That's why he didn't get a lot of carries. But, and don't get me wrong, I really like Dalvin Cook. I want him on all of my teams. But the Vikings offense did get a major shakeup at both quarterback and offensive coordinator this season, and that could shift it away from being a run-first rushing team. All right, before we move into final thoughts, I want to let you guys know that there are several ways that you can play fantasy football with the Sleeper Wire crew this year. First, the Sleeper Wire Pro-Am, where we have a bunch of pros and big names from around the fantasy football industry. We just released the list of pros and some of the big names in there. Some of the guys you get a chance to play with are Jake Seeley, Marcus Grant, Matt Harmon, Pat Fitzmaurice, Justin Boone, Mitchell Rintz, Nate Hamilton, and more. A one-time $30 donation gets you automatic entry into the Pro-Am. Additionally, we're going to be running four listener leagues as well, where a $25 donation gets you automatic entry into those leagues. And winners of those are going to receive signed jerseys from Pristine Auction. Donations can be made through our website, sleeperwire.com, or through gofundme.com/robjr. Right now, for a limited time, you can get automatic entry into both of them for a $50 donation instead of a total of $55. Moving back to Leonard Fournette here, as I was saying before we got cut off the buzzer here, finishing up my final thoughts, the Jaguars were 21st in passing attempts last season. This is truly a run-first offense in Jacksonville, and they have invested a lot in a fantastic defense to aid that. The Jaguars' defense is going to stop a lot of drives this season, and teams with great defenses can run the ball more often. The Jaguars have no reason to do anything differently this season. They made it all the way to the AFC Championship game, and likely would have beaten the Patriots if the refs had correctly called that Miles Jack fumble as a fumble on the field. That return touchdown was blown dead at the whistle. The Jaguars should and likely will follow the same system that led them to within, you know, basically one play of the Super Bowl. And that system rides on a great defense, and it rides on the back of Leonard Fournette.
See, and I mean, I love these great debates for one reason, and that's because they're always so close in player. I mean, if you look at these guys' stat line opportunity, you're almost looking at the exact same player because they both come with a good, you know, maybe not a great offense, but a good offense, but great defenses. So, I mean, it's catered to the running back situation in both situations. To me, I mean, it really just comes down to that high ankle sprain, and that's what scares me about Leonard Fournette when you're talking about drafting a player in the first round. That said, I am completely, perfectly fine with drafting Leonard Fournette in the first round. I mean, the guy is a beast. He has expected return. I'm just saying, as far as if he's on the board and Dalvin Cook's on the board, I think I'm taking Dalvin Cook.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Sleeper Wire Great Debate. A couple final things before we let you guys go. I want to encourage you guys to go to sleeperwire.com. Check out our new website. It is super slick, and we're going to be adding a lot more stuff to it. Please click on the Become a Patron button to get some great stuff and to help us out too. You can find us on Twitter at Sleeperwire Show. I'm on there at CMOR Sleeperwire. Mike is on there at DrKane21. You can find us on Sleeperbot at Professor Chris and Dirty Jobs. Find me on The Fantasy Life at Professor Chris and on Instagram at Professor Chris SW. And Mike, I believe Fantasy Life at Dirty Jobs, right?
Correct.
All right.
And also on Instagram.
Also on Instagram.
Can we get
some pictures of you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think pictures of me, but I always take pictures of the disgusting stuff I have to do as to how I got my nickname. So,
what's the grossest thing you've done recently?
Oh, it was a washing machine that they had not drained for about 3 months.
Gross.
Oh, dude. It was a tough one.
Did you post a picture of that?
I couldn't because the person was standing right over my shoulder. A lot of people around here are aware of what I do, and so they watch me now so I don't blast how disgusting that they are.
Oh, that's great. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.
Later.